Hello everyone and welcome to the Priceless Podcast. My name is Mikhail Sechen and this podcast is made with in partnership with the European Forum of LGBT Christian Groups. Subscribe, like, comment and share with whomever you like and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And if you want to support this podcast, you can find how to do so in the podcast description. My guest today is Jamie Marich. She's from the United States and she is a clinical trauma specialist.
It's my honor and pleasure to be here chatting with you. So I am, as you said, a Croatian American, and I'm a bisexual woman who is out in all areas of my life now, personally and professionally. It was a long evolving journey to do both. And I just have a great passion for talking about the subject we'll be talking about today. Yes, so spiritual abuse, in my view, is the broader term, and religious trauma narrows it down a little bit. Spiritual abuse is whenever God is used as the weapon. And it doesn't necessarily have to be God. It can be any spiritual construct like enlightenment or samadhi, as is often used in a lot of yogic or meditation contexts. Religious abuse can be when that specifically happens in the context of religion. So there was a term coined called religious trauma syndrome back in the early 90s that really spoke to that phenomenon happening inside church structures. Why I've really leaned into spiritual abuse is that it doesn't just happen in religion. I have believed and I've experienced that some of the most powerful spiritual or religious abuse can happen in the home when you have very devout parents who are using their ideas of God as this weapon to control and shame and demean. And oftentimes spiritual abuse does happen in concert with other forms of abuse. The sexual abuse, spiritual abuse blend is one that's very known. A big question that comes up is how can maybe two or three children who survive the same home under the same religious practices go through all of this, but one ends up getting seriously affected and the others don't? And usually when that happens, it's because the one who gets seriously affected really desires some deeper connection. People who we might generally refer to as old souls, or those who have more of an inherent connection in spirit to them. Those of us who've often been labeled as sensitive. For a lot of us, this kind of abuse really cuts to the core of our identity. And then I think even within spiritual abuse and religious trauma, the more I've studied my own and others, there's even a subset of the trauma that comes towards queer and LGBT folks, because it's like two of our identities can be clashing with each other. I do think queer and LGBT folks get hit hard with spiritual abuse. I think women globally get hit hard with spiritual abuse because so many religious systems are set up to be so patriarchal, where women just have no voice, no rights. There are three kind of different kinds of spiritual abuse that I see if we're classifying them. There's spiritual abuse in the home. There's spiritual abuse in religious institutions. And then there's spiritual abuse at the level of the state. When I heard about spiritual abuse at the level of the state, my immediate thought went to places like Iran. And then coming of age in the United States and seeing what has happened with the formation of our Supreme Court and how so many laws have been overturned. And even, you know, as I've talked with you about, asking how free really are countries in Europe where there's so much Catholic Church influence. So we could make the argument that it exists at the level of states, but I do think at the level of the home, it can be the most harming long term. My parents are both Croatian. They were married in the Roman Catholic Church. And when I was five, my father converted to evangelical Christianity. And he thought our whole Croatian family was going to hell because they were Catholics, because that was the kind of evangelicalism he believed in. So a lot of my spiritual torture came at the hands of the two of them, like, fighting over me. And I tell people all the time in my clinical work that if the word trauma or abuse feels too big for you, when I first learned what trauma was, I said, I didn't survive a war. I didn't this, I didn't that. And my recovery mentor wisely said to me, maybe the war was your house. So if the word trauma or abuse feels too big to you, use the word wound. The English word trauma that we're using comes from Greek meaning wound. Mm-hmm. And I think many of us, especially if we're queer, otherwise LGBT, can admit we've been wounded at the hands of religious people or by the mouths of religious people. I like this idea. No, nobody's abused you as much as you've abused yourself in terms of, you know, turning it inward. Where it becomes a spiritually abusive teaching, and this is another form of spiritual abuse, is when abusers will then say something like that to say, well, you're doing it to yourself. Especially, you know, in our part of Europe where our people come from, there can be a lot of this connection that the church defines who I am. And sometimes I've even sat back and I've wondered, why do people treat folks so horribly and defend the church like it's this most sacred thing ever? And the answer I've really come up with is because so many people don't know who they would be without the church. And I think I would tell parents that, you know, God, if assuming that part of your hesitancy is because of your religion, God is bigger than church. But even if you are working in a more conservative church, where the dogma dictates what you can teach, you can still be kind to people. Especially if you're interacting with youth one-on-one, or if you're a priest hearing confessions, treat them as a human. And you can use a line like, well, the church teaches, yet this is what I want to tell you person to person. My brother's a Catholic priest, and we disagree theologically on a lot of things. Yet I'm out to him. He has continued to treat me with kindness and love. And I know that's not so many people's experiences dealing with priests. For churches that are more affirming, that is where you can really do your work around validating a lot of the harm people have experienced in other systems. And then to ask, what are your needs in this community? Even progressive affirming congregations and institutions can get into toxic patterns, because that's part of the beast of institutionality. Part of what makes institutions ripe to be abusive is they could naturally set up a power differential that we are above the faithful. And some of the more time established institutions like the Catholic Church, I think, have that longevity, that history. Wherever you have people, there's going to be fallibility. There's going to be the potential for causing harm. And institutions aren't the enemy, but this idea of institutionality comes when we hold the sacredness or the protection of that institution above the feelings and dignity of people. Microaggression is a term we use a lot. And a couple other people I do social justice work have said microaggression is still aggression. A lot of people, both in church institution and in some of the academic institutions I've dealt with, they don't know who they're talking to. So they can be having a conversation with me and make a dig about the gay agenda or the politics of homosexuality and kind of roll their eyes subtly. And that's one of the reasons I knew I personally had to come out professionally. And some of the resistance that I got in my family and in some friend circles is, well, why do you have to come out? Why do you have to make a big deal about it? Because it's like you pass the societal norms. And even hearing that is what made me know I had to come out. I've gotten a lot of the microaggressions over the years because people don't automatically assume I'm queer because I am cisgender, feminine presenting, and have traditionally partnered with men. I think there's a lot of healing that can be had in connecting with others and realizing, wow, I'm not some uniquely horrible person. or wow, so many other people have gone through this too. For people who can't afford therapy, and even if you can afford or access therapy, not every therapist is necessarily attuned to what spiritual abuse is. Your social platforms can be a good place. Like this podcast, I think, is an amazing service where people can hopefully hear other folks' stories and connect. I'm a big TikToker as of last year. It took me a while to get on the platform. Yet there is a wonderful, in English, it'd be deconstruction TikTok is the hashtag, where so many videos, especially of queer folks sharing their stories about what they went through at the hands of church. A lot of healing can be had through the mutual sharing of experience, and whatever social platform you navigate, you'll likely find some kind of group there of survivors of your religion or reading resources. I mentioned Abbey of the Arts. There's another US-based resource that's amazing called reclamationcollective.com, and it is a group of therapists, but they put out a lot of information for the general public. Patheos.com is a progressive faith type of site. They're out there. And so even as you're searching them, see where you feel a resonance. When we met in person, we talked about Nadia Boltz-Weber, the Lutheran minister. Yes. Her book, Shameless, I highly recommend to queer folks who have gone through church, because I find it to be a theologically very sound book. Working with any available creative form you have to access, often in combination. So it may be keeping an art journal where you can write some of your thoughts in the form of poetry or just freeform verse, perhaps do some arting or collaging or scrapbooking, putting together a playlist, a music playlist of your journey thus far. That's a practice I really lean into. Healing is out there. It's at your disposal. It often comes from making connections. And who's ever listening to this, know that you are not alone. You are exactly who you're supposed to be. And anything people do to try to change you to conform to their version of God is way more about them. It's all about them.
Thank you, Jamie, so much. Thank you, dear viewers and listeners, for being with us today. This podcast is made in partnership with the European Forum of LGBT Christian Groups. Don't forget to subscribe. You see my little self showing you where you need to push the button. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And of course, you can support this podcast and help it continue. This was all for today. See you in the next episode. Until then, oh my. Bye, everyone. And bye, Jamie.
Bye.